there. This is side two. The caves, when I first came to live here at Hotchkiss in 1949, when there was a school holiday, there was a song that somebody made up, and one of the lines was, "Today's the day we're going to see the caves." But they're closed off now, I'm sure, for insurance. And
oh, yeah, yeah. But they did see the caves. In fact, three students at Hotchkiss wrote a paper for the Hotchkiss little booklet, the literary booklet they put out, and I can't remember what year it is. I have it home somewhere. And it's a story about the Bashful Lady Cave. And it ties in this story about the Glowacus. Did you ever hear? The Glowacus was a fictional animal. That was a combination of a bear, a lynx, and something else. It was a god-awful combination. And they were first sighted out in central Connecticut, and then they found them in caves over in New York State. As far as anyone knows, they, you know, they probably never existed, but it made for good stories and things like that. And so they wrote up the Glowacus in the cave.
What do you think it was written? I'd love to read it.
50s maybe, was something it? Like that. Okay. Maybe 60s, I'm not sure. I was into that. I was doing a lot of spelunking at the time, and somebody gave it to me from Hotchkiss, so it had to be in that, I would guess, in that period somewhere.
Kind of
40s to 60s, some, you know, somewhere in that area. So there was a lot of action. A lot of people did a considerable amount of spelunking, but of course people today concerned over the litigation and lawsuits and everything else don't want to take that chance. And there's some places where, you know, if they know who you are and they know, you know, what you're doing, they'll let you in. But No, not particularly, but you know,
over a period of time, are they up to cave in?
Well, eventually everything caves in,
true.
But no, I don't think so. I think they're reasonably safe. Then there, as I said, there were some of these rock fissure caves, like the Baldwin Caves in Cornwall. I don't know if you've heard of those. And Torrey Cave up in New Lenox. And got its name because it's a rock fissure cave. It had two rooms in it, relatively small. It's back a little way up the mountain in the quartzite. Nice thing about it is it's not formed by water action, so it was probably pretty dry at the time. And back during the American Revolution, a Torrey, there actually were Torreys in Torrey Caves, I learned. A Torrey by the name of, I think his name was Gideon Smith, was run out of Stockbridge by the Patriots in town. These people were all friends before this all started, but they chased him, and he hid out in this cave for weeks. He finally came out, and they captured him and locked him up. And the cave was, you know, animals lived in it through the years. A young couple that wanted to get married and their parents were opposed to it ran off and hid in the cave this is the 1930s. And then in the 1960s, some of the young people began to use the cave for smoking various substances, and a couple of fathers said that's it and went up with dynamite and set the dynamite off, and of course it blew the whole, it all caved in, so you can't go in it now. And you can go, one of my field trips has a visit to the location there, but you can't get in the cave. The history's kind of interesting, but the area itself is very nice, but you don't see much there anymore.
What about Ice Glen? The Ice Glen.
I was right in that area 2 days ago.
Well, I just took some people by the road mm-hmm. the other day, and I said I tried to go in once, and you apparently walk over somebody's property, and I was alone, and I didn't think it was necessarily what I should be doing alone. Is it worth going into?
It's okay to go across their property, but a better way to get to it, more interesting way, is to go across the railroad. You know, the Ice Glen Road goes in. Just go past that a little bit to the north and turn the next street, which is by the ball field, and it's called Park Street. Go to the end of Park Street, and you're at the Laurel Hill Association Bridge, which goes across the Housatonic, and you walk up the mountain. There's a fork after you walk for about 10 or 15 minutes. It's a bit of a climb. Mm-hmm. The fork to the left goes to Laura's Tower, which sits up on it's really the very north tip of Beartown Mountain. And you climb up there, and there's a tower that's about 30 feet high, and you can see way to the north and the whole valley east to west, and still catch part of the Catskills over the last mountains on the west side. And in a day like we've had this week in the fall, it's absolutely beautiful up there. Then you come back down, you take the right fork, and that takes you, I'm a long time getting to your question here, to Ice Glen. Ice Glen is mainly, it's part of the quartzite, the Dalton-Cheshire quartzite, the old beaches of 500 million years ago. and it's mainly broken up. It's like a nice, it's like a crevice type of cave, and they're really not caves. I mean, you can crawl in under some of the rocks, and it's what it looks like is that they, during one of the upheavals, land opened up some there, and then the loose rocks all got pushed inward by glaciers afterward. And it's kind of tough climbing on it, but I haven't been there after any of the recent winters we have, which haven't had much snow, but I have been there in the years gone by when we had good snowy winters, and it's still snowing there the 25th of June. And it gets way down the bottom, and it's like a refrigerator, and so it warms up very slowly. Difficulty in there is it's hard to see in there because it's got a lot of, I mean, you can see the rocks all right, but you don't get good sunlight because there's so many trees growing around it. But it's kind of fascinating, and it's the most fun to go is when you can reach down in there and still find pieces of ice in there in June. So that's one of our local phenomena as well. One of the other things that's covered in the tour guides that I'm doing, of course, Squaw Peak on Monument Mountain, because I think that's probably the single most fantastic scarp of rock that you find any place in the valley. It's more like a western mountain than it is than an eastern mountain. But I do an exploration of the sources of the river, of the Housatonic River. And Lake Pontoosuc is usually given credit for that, but it really isn't the source. It's only part of it. And there are three springs up on the mountain, which is like Brody Mountain in the town of New Ashford, that form into a little brook called Town Brook, and they run down, and a lot of other streams do, to form Lake Pontoosuc. And then over on the west side, you have Richmond Pond, and that's the western source. Just south of Pontoosuc, you have Lake Kanata, and that's another part of the source. But the largest source, which most people don't realize, is in on the Hinsdale-Washington border, up on the mountains, right near the divide with the Connecticut River system. It's south of Dalton, about 10 miles. And you go up there, and you have to follow the railroad track, and it's the area is called the Summit, and that's the highest point on the railroad, on Amtrak and Conrail, between Chicago and Boston. And the Summit actually is everything to the east runs into the Connecticut River, and everything to the west runs into the Housatonic River. And there's a pond up there called Mud Pond, and it's really quite a nice pond. It's pristine setting, beautiful.
Wait, come in.
I'll get my pocketbook.
You got it. Oh, you got it out of there. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your office.
One went back to California, one went back to Michigan, so now I'm free as a bird.
You know Jenny Moskowitz?
Sure.
Yes, we do.
Sure. Have fun.
Okay, honey.
No dirty stories now. We got to keep this thing clean.
I'm trying to think of one.
Okay, I'll leave you.
Okay, sweetie. Thanks a million.
I'll see you at the fair tomorrow.
Oh, yes, you will, with the yellow jackets buzzing around the maple syrup.
Did you bring them in already?
Okay.
Every year.
Thanks, Jenny.
Up on top of this whole thing, that's the source of the east branch of the Housatonic, which is the largest branch, biggest volume, and there's huge glacial terraces up there. So there was a great big glacial lake on top of the temporary glacial lake on top of the mountain 10,000 years ago, and now the water flows down out of there, flows down the mountain into Dalton, and the Crane paper mill and the textile mills and all those early mills that were in there, they've been there a long time, were really that was the first major power use of the Housatonic, which was on the east branch, not the main branch. Then they all run together just below Pittsfield, and some places it meanders and some places it goes rather rapidly. But
was there any kind of industry? How can I explain this to you? If you come down, if you leave Stockbridge and head toward West Stockbridge, and there's a big intersection by the Berkshire Garden Center, and if you turn left, you go down, following the river, and there's some sort of, now almost gone, stone building with rusty iron.
That's the village of Housatonic that I mentioned before.
Yeah, what is that on the river?
That is the, it's Monument Mills. There's two. There's south of town is the Rising Paper Company,
yeah,
and that's still there.
I don't mean the buildings. I mean, this is almost as if it were trying to pull water originally up for power.
Oh, that's the powerhouse.
Okay, well, that's what it is.
Yeah, okay, that's your little bit north. Yeah,
but
that's
it's nothing now, right? right?
Oh yes, it's operating. That powerhouse was built as a result of Stanley, I forgot his first name, from Great Barrington, discovering how to transmit electricity over distances. And he put, that powerhouse was built on his concept to supply power for the Monument Mills area in Housatonic. And then the powerhouse produced electricity for Lenox and Stockbridge and Great Barrington at one point, which pretty large area. Then in 1947, it closed down. And then in the 1970s, a woman whose name escapes me right now and her brother felt that it's a better way to use the river for power for environmental impact than anything else. So they went to work and got some people. Yeah, everything was still there, and they did some cleanup and did some work and got it operating again. So it's 1974, 77. It started operating again, and now it produces power and sells it back to Massachusetts utilities. I've been in there, and the guy there, he didn't want to tell me too much, and he said, all I know is it goes up that wire out of here. And I don't know how many kilowatts they sell, but it's an operating business again. And they haven't done much. Now they're working on the building. They put in new windows, just as the old windows were. I think the woman is no longer around, and I think she moved to the west or something like that, but there's some other people that own it. And they're operating it and selling the electricity back to the Mass utilities.
I got to go buy it then soon, because I haven't seen it for a few years. That's amazing that the...
You can drive down in there and walk around on it. I mean, there's a watchman there, and he'll come out and just tell him you're interested in it. That's all. I found if you're reasonable with people, usually you can get to see most anything. Just back upstream from that, which if you go back in Glendale and take a right toward Stockbridge, then the dam is just below that, the original dam that was in there. I think that went in right around the turn of the century or something like that. That's still operating. It's a nice canoe ride from Stockbridge over to the dam. Incidentally, when I get this thing done, which I shall be at least 110 by then, it's also going to include a series of geologic canoe trips. And, you know, some of the canoe trips are relatively short. You can probably do two in a day, or maybe sometimes one in a day. But the first one will be from just below where the rivers come together, the three branches in Pittsfield, down to New Lenox Road, below the big power substation there. And the next one will run from there down to Woods Pond, just north of Lee. And the third one will be, I'm not trying to do the whole river. If somebody wants to do it, fine. The third one will be from where you're going to ice, the place, the where I told you to go into Ice Glen off Park Street, just put in there and then take out just above the dam in Glendale, which is really part of Stockbridge. And then, so I got little patches of them all the way along. I've done parts of those three, but they're not, you know, the beauty of the field trips is you can do a piece here and there. If you're really ambitious, you can do several in one day. So there are basic six, which really pretty much cover the valley. And then beyond that, there's some much more specific and long range. I want to have some that do comparative geology that tie in the geology of the Housatonic Valley with places like Central New York State, Vermont, you know, so do there'd be comparative types of geology rather than just local geology.
You got your work cut out for you.
Oh yeah, but I like it.
I know you do.
And no telephone.
You got anything more you want to tell me?
No, I'd like to thank you for giving me this opportunity, and it's been a lot of fun.
Okay.
And sit around and talk about some of the things I love.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.